You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It's time for our Set Apart to Serve conversation, and today's conversation is about conversations. Can I say conversation again?
I think we will, probably multiple times. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu.
Joining us today, Tim Oberdieck. He's Youth Director at St. John's Lutheran Church in Seward, Nebraska. Tim, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Also joining us today, Annie Ryan. She serves as Director of Church Ministries at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Delmar, New York. Annie, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me.
We are delighted to have time with you both. I know that this time of year might be busy for both of you in the ways that you serve in your congregations, but we don't know exactly how you serve in your congregation. So tell us a little bit about where you live and serve. Annie, let's start with you. What do you do as Director of Church Ministries at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Delmar, New York?
Sure. So I mostly specialize in two areas. I focus a lot on youth and family ministry, as well as disability inclusion. So most of the time that is just going around to, obviously doing stuff in our church. I also go to other churches within the Atlantic District, just helping them to learn how to love all of God's children, regardless of disabilities, or if they're, heaven forbid, in middle school. That one's tough, but you know, it is what it is. I love my middle schoolers.
And for those not familiar with Delmar, New York, can you help us out geographically?
Sure. So we are located just south of Albany, which is the capital of New York. It's about 3 hours north of New York City.
So kind of right in the middle of the state, beautiful part of the country.
Yes.
And speaking of beautiful part of the country, we're going to head over to Seward, Nebraska. Tim, tell us about what you do as youth director at St. John's Lutheran Church in Seward, Nebraska.
Yeah, thank you. This role is a little new for me. My first call was to teach theology at Lutheran High School in Parker, Colorado. So I spent the first 3 years studying Christian denominations, apologetics, and world religions. And then just a year ago, my wife and I transitioned here to Seward, and I oversee our 6th through 12th grade ministry on campus, both in our church and in our school. So I teach confirmation for our 7th graders during the day, and then I oversee our 6th through 8th grade group, which meets kind of like a normal youth group would on Wednesday evenings. And then our high school groups meet on campus once a month, and then the other 3 weeks out of the month, they meet off campus in the homes of their lay leader. So I spend a lot of time writing Bible studies, actually, and training adults on how to teach them rather than actually engaging with the high school students themselves.
So both of you get to work at least a little bit part-time with young people, with middle schoolers, high schoolers, and both of you in the Set Apart to Serve meetings that happen, you both have talked about youth wanting these personal relationships with people. How do these relationships come into play when you're talking to youth about considering full-time church work? Annie?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things, I think is making sure that you already have established a personal relationship with them. And that's important because then you can get a sense of their strengths and their interests, and you can help pinpoint exactly in which church work career they may best be able to serve. And I think that's probably the most important thing, is just getting to know them personally without any motivation other than just they're part of the church and you love them.
Absolutely. Tim, what about you and your experience?
Yeah, I agree with Annie, and I'd love to build on what she was saying. As I was contemplating this question, I was reminded of a resource that I love. Greg Kuchel wrote a book called Tactics, a game plan for discussing Christian convictions. And his book is focused primarily on evangelism, but I think one of the lessons is applicable here to our question. He focuses in on John chapter 4, where Jesus talks to the woman at the well. And right as the disciples come up the hill, he directs their attention out to the city before them. and says that the fields are ripe for the harvest and that they would be going out to reap what they did not sow. And from the perspective of the disciples, they were about to go out and quickly meet a lot of new Christians, people who had come to faith with very little work. But from the perspective of everybody else, there's a community here who has been not Christian for a significant amount of time. The work of the disciples was made possible by the faithful work of many people who'd gone before them, who would ultimately probably not see the fruit of their labor. So Kuchel notes the two different roles here. The disciples are harvesters, but their work is possible thanks to the Spirit's work through the gardeners, the people who had lived life with the Samaritans for a significant amount of time before the disciples came onto the scene. I think a similar tactic is necessary for us as we approach the conversation of church work with students. My goal is not to directly jump into the big question, but to answer a lot of little ones leading up to the big one along the way.
So let's talk about developing those relationships and having meaningful conversations, albeit informal, whatever a student or a youth may want to talk about. What are the things that impact the relationships between parents and youth or other adults and youth that you are seeing in your congregation? What are the things like technology and social media? How are those perceived by youth and parents alike? Annie, thoughts on that?
Yeah, lots of thoughts on that. technology is very interesting. I've grown up with it. I'm roughly as old as MySpace. It's very much a huge factor in everyone's day-to-day life. But I think especially coming out of the pandemic where absolutely everything was online, I think a lot of kids and youth are burnt out on technology and they really want that face-to-face, screen-free interactions. There's a big push, at least out here in the Atlantic District. I'm not sure how it is in everywhere else, but the school districts around here are starting to pull technology out of schools. And they're going back to writing things by hand and teaching out of physical books because the science just doesn't seem to support technological use within classrooms. So while I think that a lot of technology use can be very beneficial in some circumstances, I think we also have to be careful to prioritize first and foremost face-to-face conversations and physical conversations, physical interactions in the church.
Tim, your thoughts on how technology and social media are impacting relationships between youth and adults and youth and parents?
Yeah, the environment has changed, but the person has not. When I was at Lutheran High School, my supervisor, Marty Colway, synthesized the questions that he was hearing in his class down to four, which were, who am I? Why am I here? What is true? And is there any hope? And every student that I've met has some variation of that question going through their head or those questions going through their head. And as they seek to answer them, I've found that many of them turn to the online world seeking answers. And what they're finding is not a lot. Many of them are approaching AI asking those questions or heading to social media for short-term or short-form content, and they're coming up empty. And so what I've seen is a rejection of a lot of what they would call brain rot and a desire to pursue something like what we're doing today, a podcast or some form of long form communication or education or even in-person conversation.
Yeah, both of you have now mentioned that these more, if I can use the word authentic here, more authentic human-to-human interactions, screen-free things, things that feel more real than looking up an answer on AI or having a conversation with a chatbot or these types of things. How do the things that you've both recognized that that human to human, face to face conversations are something that young people really want. How does that make way for opportunities in real life, connections with leadership opportunities or servant events, job shadowing, these kinds of things? How is what you've discovered make way for opportunities like that, Tim?
Just because students don't enjoy technology or seek it out doesn't mean they won't. And so if they find themselves in an awkward situation, they will likely still pull out their phone and scroll because that's what they've grown up doing. And so they have great opportunity to engage and might disengage. And so we have the opportunity as adults to step into those conversations by asking something specific and simple, approaching them with a quick question about something they're wearing, a symbol on their shirt or something we might know about them. We can initiate the conversation that they are too inexperienced to begin.
Annie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's huge. One of the things that I try to stress, I think more with the adult congregants than even necessarily the youth. The youth hear all the time that they are the future of the church. And when I was in school, one of my professors said that that's just not true. The youth are the church right now. And recognizing that and giving them the trust and the responsibility to be the church, to take on leadership roles in things like VBS or, you know, in any church event will give them a lot of confidence. It will put them into more conversation with the adults in the congregation, which will then in turn help them feel comfortable when, you know, they're just sitting there during fellowship hour or whatever the case may be. So that maybe they already have a bit of established relationship with some of the adults and they might not feel the need to immediately hop on their phones.
So giving them opportunities for leadership and servant events and to serve alongside adults in the congregation, as the congregation serves one another within the congregation and out in the community as well, serving alongside adults gives those opportunities to have casual conversations, which then build those skills and the confidence to have more conversations in the future as well. We're talking with Tim Oberdeek. He's youth director at St. John's Lutheran Church in Seward, Nebraska, and Annie Ryan, director of church ministries at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Del Mar, New York. And this is part of our Set Apart to Serve conversation, talking about having conversations, particularly with youth, and building those relationships to have meaningful conversations. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Friday. It is our Set Apart to Serve conversation. Today, we're talking with a youth director and director of church ministries about building meaningful relationships with youth, whether it's adults or parents, adults in the congregation or parents or leaders in congregations, building those meaningful relationships to have meaningful conversations, those coming out of those relationships. From your perspective, where are you seeing in your congregation, in your setting, where are you seeing youth and adults having those conversations? What are some examples of where you're seeing that in your congregation, Tim?
Yeah, this is a great question. And one that we can quickly skate by and miss in our congregations. For example, as soon as our first service gets out, we enter into our education hour. And it's really easy for those students to quickly leave the church and head right to the youth room and miss out on what we love here at St. John, which is the donut time. Right outside the doors, we've got this huge pile of donuts and what we like to call good coffee. And it's right here that many of their parents stick around and talk to one another for 10, 15 minutes before heading to whatever class they're heading to or head home for the day. And so it's right there that the adults who are looking for it tend to engage with students, because each and every one of those students does make a pit stop for a donut before they leave. And so while it's not a necessity, a little sugar or a little bit of caffeine is something that gathers those spaces for conversation.
Annie, what are some of the examples of ways that you see youth and adults having those informal conversations in your congregation?
Yeah, I think that donuts always get them every time.
Yep.
I think one of the other things, and this is maybe almost a little too specific of an idea, but one of my students is fairly shy, and for our VBS, which we do in the middle of winter for a long, that's a long explanation. I had her be my co-director, and I just gave her a walkie-talkie. And then she was the most confident person in the church. And it gave her several opportunities to strike up casual conversations with the adults that were volunteering. And that has helped build some more relationships that now, as she's going to get her Sunday morning donut, she builds on those jokes, and it helps to build the sense of family that we have here at BLC.
Donuts are a very quintessential time for all of us to have interactions. I think that is the place in my church as well. On a Sunday morning, everyone gathers around the donuts and it is loud and everyone is talking. So both of you have pointed that out. That is really an excellent and very, that's like a low hanging fruit donut for people to be able
it's
to.
Food.
It's food. People like to talk around food. Mm-hmm. But that pointing that out and talking about it, I think it's just really important that is a place of intentionality. That all of us can lean into. I think from both of your perspectives, you talk about these spaces where adults and youth can have conversations. How do you perceive that that youth perceive these interactions with adults, Annie?
Yeah, that can be kind of tricky. I think that a lot of times the youth feel as though they're not qualified to speak to the adults. And I think that partially stems from, you know, especially if they've grown up in the church, they've always seen the adults as these authority figures. And, you know, they must be revered or like respected. And of course, respect is necessary. But moving into more of an informal relationship can be very confusing. And I think that giving them the encouragement of recognizing that, like, no, adults, contrary to seemingly popular belief, are people too. And it's okay to talk to them like they are. It could be tricky, but and scary, honestly, in a lot of cases. But I think that's kind of where they're at.
Tim, what about you?
I think that students need a place to start. That initial introduction is a space that, when done well, can start a good conversation, and when not done at all, leads to silence. And so in our setting, we've been focusing on different areas where we can make an introduction. So someone, no matter their education or stage of life, has some commonality or common ground to start with. So for the youth, we recently launched a new fundraiser. So rather than outsourcing our fundraising or just having adults do it, we opened a fireworks stand. And Seward is the 4th of July city of Nebraska. So fireworks are something that everybody knows a little bit about. And for 2.5 hours, they're in the hot sun eating popsicles and, well, just talking about fireworks. And so while that might seem like something that an adult might dread initially, students actually coveted those shifts because they had, for the first time, common ground with every single person who came in.
Let's talk about relationships between parents and youth and those conversations. Family life can be very busy, always on the run, it seems like these days for families, whether it's, you know, sports and other extracurricular activities that keep families busy. Tim, I know you talked a little bit about this, about families having meaningful conversations and redeeming that time, travel time. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on how parents can build those meaningful conversations with children, redeeming whatever time they can for those.
Thanks, Andy. When I was a kid, I remember my parents fighting for the dinner time, the family dinner around the table. And that is something that I'm quickly seeing go away in the cultures of our families here in Seward and the ones in Denver as well. Many of them are eating dinner in the car, running from one practice to another, dropping off one kid at the school before taking another to the track. And so the time for connection has been condensed. And those few minutes of transition are also incredibly stressful. And so if a parent is not focusing on that time, the few minutes they get are spent only on transit. But I think as church workers, we have a great opportunity to walk with those parents and give them places to start, conversation starters or some ideas on a simple question to ask their kids, different from, hey, how was your day? If we can coach them in asking something specific, a question about this week's Bible study in youth group or a question about the recent chemistry test, they're much more likely to get a few minutes of conversation from their kid in that quick transition from one thing to the next.
Annie, I know you have a lot of great ideas about using the catechism at home. I would love if you briefly talk us through a little bit of the things that you've discovered about that, how parents can use the catechism at home. Why is this important? Share your insights with us.
Yeah, absolutely. The catechism was not designed for church leaders. It was designed for heads of household to use with the children in that household. And so I think that it's important for parents to view it as a resource. The way that it's formatted is such that it sounds like, you know, oh, a child asks a question. For example, like here it says, what does our created nature teach us about marriage? And then it has the answer. It's basically a 16th century Google for the LCMS. So I think that that can be extremely beneficial. One of the downsides is that it is somewhat dense. It feels kind of overwhelming, especially if you don't necessarily have a lot of theological training. I generally recommend Faithfully Formed by Andy Wright. It walks through the Lutheran confessions in daily life. So it includes the Augsburg Confession and all of that. I think that it helps give adults a more firm grounding in the Lutheran confessions, which will then help them with the small catechism. The other issue with the catechism in the home, especially with younger kids, it's boring. I'll be the first to admit that. It's boring. So there are other options that are still catechisms. We have My First Catechism and Luther Small Catechism for Kids. Especially the one for kids, it is just the small catechism, but it includes faith connections, a think and share, which would be really beneficial for what Tim was saying. It gives you questions that you can ask for just like a brief conversation. It recommends songs, memory verses, prayers, all of it. So I think that those are also very helpful in helping adults to establish a firm Lutheran background for the children in their care.
As we wrap up our time together today, any final thoughts on authentic, genuine conversations with youth, whether they're at home or with adults in your congregation as well? Any final thoughts that you want to leave us with today, Tim?
Thanks, Andy. Students today may or may not know how to engage in conversation with an adult. However, the human desire for community, relationship, and affirmation from their superiors still exists in every single person. Not every conversation between an adult and a young person will feel enriching to the adult, but every time an adult initiates a conversation, the young person is given opportunity and permission to do the same.
Any final thoughts on building those authentic, genuine conversations with youth, whether in the congregation or at home?
Show up. That's one of my biggest things. If they have a football game, go to it. If they have a dance recital, go to it. Show up. Show that you are genuinely interested in who they are as people, and the conversations will flow naturally.
And as you develop those genuine conversations, the opportunities to talk about considering church work in the future, those can happen as you build that relationship. Thank you both for spending the time with us today. Tim Oberdick, he is Youth Director at St. John's Lutheran Church in Seward, Nebraska. Tim, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me.
Annie Ryan, Director of Church Ministries at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Del Mar, New York. Annie, thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.